Rav Kook was born in Europe, and he learned in Volozhin, and he married in Europe, and he had a rabbonis in Europe. And then he was always eager to move to Eretz Yisrael. And they asked him at one point in his career, what moved him, what motivated him so much to move to Eretz Yisrael? So he said, when you start reading the Chumash and Parshas Lech Lecha Ad, everything revolves about Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Avraham Avinu should move to Eretz Yisrael. And then all of Jewish history begins. Avraham Avinu is the founding father of the Jewish religion. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the three Ovis. When we say Elokeinu, Elokei Aviseinu, Lo Nikru Ovis Elo Shlosha, there are only three founding fathers of our religion. All three lived in Eretz Yisrael. Everything is in Eretz Yisrael. Like that. So that's what Rav Kook said. The whole Torah from the beginning to the end, everything revolves about Eretz Yisrael. In the opening psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu, if he goes to Eretz Yisrael, Be'ezcha L'goy Gadol, it'll make him into a great nation. All the nations, all the other nations of the world who are referred to as Mishpachos will be Nivruchu, whatever that means. Why is he called a Goy and the others are called Mishpachos Vadama? This is very interesting. We usually have a din. There are two Chalushemis of Kurva. There's She'er Basar in Chumash, the Halachas. Gili Arayis, certain relatives that you're not allowed to marry. So it's the pasuk says ishish called sheir basar la sikru la galas ervo. So sheir basar relatives apply that term, that concept of kurva applies both from the mother's side and the father's side. But whenever the Torah has a din on mishpacha like Yerusha, that depends on mishpacha. He quotes the pasuk in the beginning of Chumash, to teach not only mishpacha sabkri mishpacha same and a kriyim mishpacha. Here it's interesting. But I request of everyone to unmute yourself so the others will be able to hear. To mute yourself, not to unmute, to please mute yourself. So the Gemara discusses a situation where a Chinese man marries a French girl, or a Chiti marries a Mitzri. We have a special status for the Zainumis. There's a din loses Chatenba. Zainumis and his Gairo is a special din. Then there's a special din for Mitzri Vadaimi. Only Dor Shlishi Abelahem Mekal Hashem. Then there's a special din for Amaleki, special dinim. So how does one determine the status of the child if there's a mixed marriage? So the Gemara says, Be'umas Aloich Achar HaZochar. If both parents are not Jewish, then you say, L'mishpachosim L'meis HaVoisim, Mishpacha Savkri, Mishpacha, Mishpacha Sei Menikri, Mishpacha, whatever nationality the father belongs to, that's the status of the children. And you ignore the fact that the mother is from a different nationality. If you have a mixed marriage, well, both parents are Jewish, then you say again, Mishpachosim Leveis Avoisim. Let's say the father's a Kohen, the mother's not, or the father's a Levi, the mother is not, or the reverse, the mother's a Bas Kohen or a Bas Levi. So the status of the child depends on the father. Or to determine which Shevet the person belongs to. Nobody's a Kohen or a Levi, but someone is from Shevet Zvulun, and one parent is from Shevet Yehuda. So what Shevet do the children belong to? So that's the Pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, opening Pasuk, beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, Lemishpachosam, Leveis Havosam, what Shevet you belong to, whether you're a Kohen or Levi, or Shevet Zvulun, Shevet Yehuda, that's a matter of Mishpacha. If, however, you have a mixed marriage, but one parent is Jewish and one parent is not Jewish, then there's a Tosfos on Amud Beis, the last Amud Beis in the first Perek in Yevamos, where Tosfos writes that there are three opinions in the Gemara, whether You require both parents should be Jewish. Either parent should be Jewish. Or it all depends on the mother. Rabbi Kevega over there on the Gilyan Ashas asks, he's not familiar with this. Where do you find the three shittas in the Gemara? He just knows that there's a Mishnah in Kiddushin. Mishnah in Kiddushin says it all depends on the mother. Yeah, so the Chazon Ish writes a short paragraph. Yeah, Rabbi Kevega is right. That's how we paskin, like the Mishnah, that it all depends on the mother. But he shows that in the Gemara and the Rishonim, there are different opinions. In the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Tanoim and Amoraim, there was an opinion that either that's the Reform have adopted that position. If either the father or the mother is Jewish, then the child is Jewish. And then there's another opinion that in order for the children to be Jewish, you need that both parents should be Jewish. And the Psak Halacha is that it all depends on the mother. So the question begs itself, if you have both parents are not Jewish, but they're from different nationalities, then the halacha says, L'mishpachosim l'beis avosim. The status of the children is determined by the father. That's the Mishnah. Bumas halach achar azachar. If both parents are Jewish, but from two different shvatim, then you say again, L'mishpachosim l'beis avosim. So how come you don't find the fourth opinion in the Gemara? That should have been the main opinion. You don't even find such an opinion, that it all depends on the father. If you have a mixed marriage, but one parent is Jewish, one parent is not Jewish, there never was such an opinion that it all depends on the father. There was an opinion that both parents to be Jewish, either parent should be Jewish, it all depends on the mother. Haloi dova hu, it's strange. There should have been an opinion that it all depends on the father. So the answer is that the Pasuk says over here, the Jewish people are considered a goy gadol, and the other people, the other nationalities, are called mishpachos v'adama. The others are mishpachos. So mishpacha, that's the klal. The kurva mishpacha is determined by the father. The mishpachosim l'beis avosim. But whether a person is Jewish or not doesn't depend on mishpacha. You can have a gersh in his gayer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that he can accept gerim. The parsha opens with the din that Avraham Avinu took all of his possessions, Teres Yisrael, and he took with him HaNefesh Asher Osa Bechorim. So the Poshim Shan HaNefesh Asher Osa means the servants that he purchased in Chutz Lartz, he brought with him Teretz Yisrael. Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah, Nevesh Asher Osa Bechorim is a reference to the Gerim. He was told there's going to be an institution of Geris. In fact, the Rashbam and some other Rishonim translate that V'nivruchu b'chokon mishpachosu adoma, the verb V'nivruchu doesn't come from the Loshen Brocha, but rather from the Loshen Brecha, Lahavrich, Avrocha v'harkova. Avrocha means if you take a branch from one tree and you attach it to a different tree. So V'nivruchu b'chokon mishpachosu adoma, some of the Rashbam and some other Rishonim learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that he should be Mekabel Gerim. If any non-Jew wants to join the Jewish nation, they can do that. So in order to be Jewish, you don't have to be from the Mishpacha of the Jewish people. Otherwise, it wouldn't be possible to accept Gerim. It doesn't depend on Mishpacha at all. In order to be a Yevusi, in order to be a Mitzvi, V'adoymi, a Maleki, that's Mishpacha Yisrael Adama. If you're a direct descendant, Ben Achaben, and then you say, since it depends on mishpacha, mishpacha sab kriyim mishpacha, mishpacha say meina kriyim mishpacha. But in order to be Jewish, you don't have to be a blood relative of the original founding fathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We accept gerim also. So therefore, the Tanoim held that that's out of the question, that the status of the children should be determined by the father based on the regular din of mishpacha, mishpacha say Mishpacha Sab Kriya Mishpacha, Mishpacha Saimeni Kriya Mishpacha, that's out of the question. So the question is, we have a din of a goy. A goy is a different status. A lot of people say the Nusach HaBrocha Shalom Asani Goy. Many say that that's a colloquial expression that appears in the Gemara, that's slang Hebrew. In correct Hebrew, you don't refer to an individual non-Jew as a goy. In Yiddish, you say like that. The Gemara has a Loshon, a goy. But many Rishonim assume that the brochas are supposed to be in the biblical Hebrew. That's the premise of the whole Avu drama. So that's a question. Many Gedolim didn't say the Nusach Shlos Ani Goy. They said Nusach Shlos Ani Nochri. Nochri is a biblical Hebrew, a biblical word. And Shalos Ani Goy is not true. The Jewish people are the only Goy. Mikam Chisol Geichad Baretz. We're the only Goy. The others are Mishpachas. We're the only ones who are a Goy. Goy, the Radak writes in his dictionary, his biblical dictionary. Rav Soloveitchik used to quote this every so often in his drushes, that the word Goy comes from the Loshin Givya, from a body. Gevi Nosati Lemakim, that the Goyim are beating me up. Gviya is a body. So Goy means Kol Yisrael Arayim Zeh B'Zeh, the whole Jewish people constitutes one big body. That's why there's the din of Losikim Losita as B'nei Amecha. You're not allowed to take revenge from another Jew. It's a Moshel Amad Abadayme. If a person accidentally, let's say a person is a righty and he's cutting a big challah, and accidentally he cuts, he's holding the challah with the left hand, he's cutting with the knife with the right hand, and accidentally he cuts, he pricks the finger on the left hand. So would it make sense that the left hand should slap the right hand to take the koma? The left hand and the right hand are from the same organism. It's a different organ, but it's the same organism. So too, it doesn't make sense that one Jew should take revenge from another Jew, because all of B'nai Yisrael are like one big giviyah. We're like different dims, limbs of the same organism, the same body. So to say the nusach shelo asani goy, that's questionable. Many poskim hold it's more correct to say shelo asani nachri. It's because of this distinction that the Jewish people are a goy, but not a mishpacha. That's exactly why the din says that when you have a mixed marriage, nobody ever held the shita that the status of mixed marriage, one parent is Jewish, one parent is not Jewish, that the status of the children should be determined by the father based on the general din of mishpacha sab kriya mishpacha, mishpacha semeni kriya mishpacha. The Chumash tells us that Sarah had trouble having children, and the Gemara says that Sarah and Rivka and Rachel were all Akoris. And then the Gemara thinks also that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were also Akarim. But Derech HaTeva, it was impossible for them to have any children. So the whole existence of the Klal Yisrael is Lamayla Min HaTeva. It could well be that this is the basis of the anti-Semitism in the world. Because all of Teva is interconnected. All of nature is connected. And nature abhors a foreign body. The Teva Ha'adam is that there's a principle of rejection. When you do an organ transplant, when they started doing organ transplants, so they realized that they have to give medication to prevent the body from rejecting the foreign organ. And it's a miracle that I remember a doctor who worked on fertility, a fertility doctor, once attended a bar mitzvah. We attended a bar mitzvah where their parents didn't have children for 20 years. And then they had a Jewish doctor. So he flew in from Seattle all the way to New York City to attend the bar mitzvah of the child on Shabbos. So every meal we were eating at a different with a different group of people, a different table at the bar mitzvah, at the simcha. So the doctor was telling us that this was 20 years ago. He said they don't understand why the female body doesn't reject the zera habal. It's also a foreign body. How come all the other foreign things the body rejects, the zera habal it doesn't reject? Once in a long while, you have a case where a woman is allergic to the Zera Habal and they can't have children. But usually it's not the case. So he said, usually there is a principle of rejection. So if Klal Yisrael doesn't fit into the Teva, but Derech HaTeva, we shouldn't exist at all. So it's understandable why there's anti-Semitism. We don't fit into the rest of the world. Everything by Klal Yisrael is Lamayla Min HaTeva. The opening Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah says that the difference between Jewish history and non-Jewish history. Jewish history, the years begin with Nissan. Rosh Hashanah Lamalchi Yisrael is Echad B'Nissan. And Goyish history, Rosh Hashanah Lamalchi Umas Ha'olam, begins with Echad B'Tishrei. Why is that so? So one could have perhaps understood that that's a minik, a practice that they had in the days of the Tanoim. So the Ran on the Rif, on the opening Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, The Ran explains, he thinks that it's a din. It's not just a minig, because it's learned out from the Pasuk, HaChodesh Hazalachem Rosh Chodeshim, that the Jewish year begins with Nisan. Why should that be so? What's the beer of the Pasuk? So the Netziv, in his commentary on Chumash, explains on that Pasuk in Parshas Bo, HaChodesh Hazalachem Rosh Chodeshim, that there are two hanhagas in the world. There's a hanhaga of Teva and a hanhaga of Lamayla ben Teva. So we usually assume B'tishrei Nivra Ha'olam, that on Rosh Hashanah we recite the Piyutim Hayom Haras Olam. Today is the birthday of the world. The world was Nivra in B'tishrei Nivra Ha'olam. What it means was that the creation of Adam Arishon, the sixth day of creation, was Echad B'tishrei. The world was created the last 5 days in Elul, and the sixth day of creation was Echad B'tishrei. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he instituted all of the rules and regulations of chemistry, physics, biology, medicine, and everything else, and astronomy, and history, the rules and regulations to history. And if a person understands the rules and regulations of history, and he understands what's happening under his nose, he can predict what's going to happen in the future, because there are rules and regulations in history. But as far as Jewish history is concerned, Jewish history is lamala min ha-teva. That's what it means. The Rabban HaChumash has this quite a few times. Ein mazal li-Yisrael. There's a whole sugya in the Gemara in the end of Masechah Shabbos. There's a whole daf Gemara. Ein mazal li-Yisrael means all of history is tachas shlitas ha-kechovim ha-mazalos. There are rules and regulations to world history. And Jewish history is not tachas shlitas ha-kechovim ha-mazalos. Cannot predict in advance. All of Jewish history is lamala min ha-teva. Rabban HaChumash says, does it make sense what we say in Kriya Shema every day, that if we observe the mitzvahs, and if we don't observe the mitzvahs, how can that depend? And if the Jewish people observe Shemitah, then they'll be able to remain in Eretz Yisrael. If they violate Shemitah on a consistent basis, then they'll be chased out of Eretz Yisrael. All of this is lamala min ha-teva. Derech ha-teva doesn't make sense. So Jewish history is always lamala min ha-teva. The existence of the Jewish people is lamala min ha-teva. We shouldn't have remained in existence for so many years, since the Jews were always persecuted for so many years. They were running away from one godless to the other. So that's exactly why Nisan represents the Chodesh of Nisan, the Chodesh of Geula, and Hogav Lamala Min HaTeva. So Jewish history, Rosh Hashanah L'Malchi Yisrael is Echad B'Nis, as opposed to Goyish history, Rosh Hashanah L'Malchi Yumas Olam is Echad B'Tishrei, because all of Goyish history, all of world history, is governed with rules and regulations. So this is the opening psukim in Parshas Lech Lecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu he should move to Eretz Yisrael. And later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. He says, Kum Yisalach Baretz L'Orko L'Rachpo Ki L'Cho Etineno. The Gemara points out, one could have translated the Pasuk in one of two ways. Ki L'Cho Etineno is a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future. Avraham Avinu should walk around the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and just like that's not so difficult to do, so too conquering Eretz Yisrael will not be that difficult. It's easy. So it could be Kilucho Etineno means in the distant future, when Yeshua ben Nun will take the Jewish people crossing over the Yarden, then Kilucho Etineno. Or you can say no, Kol Mesalach Baratz L'Orka L'Rachba, walking around the borders constituted a Kinyan Chazoket. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the balabos over the whole world. Konei Shamayim Ba'aretz, he's the one who created the heavens and the earth. And he has the ability, he has the right to give Eretz Yisrael to whomever he wants. He gave it to the Ummas. And then he decided to give it to Bnei Yisrael. So walking around the borders constituted the Kinyan Hazoka. So the Gemara Bava Basra around Daf Kuf, the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim. One Tana Reb Lezer is of the opinion that if I sell a kerem to someone else, he can make a Kinyan Hazoka by walking around the borders, and he learns it out from Avraham Avinu. We paskin against Reb Lezer that was only a Kinyan Hazoka once in the history of the world. But we do assume that at the time, it wasn't just a symbol of Banecha that Kibush Haaretz will be easy. We assume Kum Misalach Haaretz L'Harka L'Rachba was the Kinyan. It wasn't just a symbol of Banecha that just like walking around the borders was easy, so too conquering Eretz Yisrael will be easy. It's more than that. That was the Kinyan Chazoka. That's what the Gemara says. Eretz Yisrael Machzakasei Me'aviseinu Imais Avraham Avinu. That's a Gemara in Perek Yesh Nechelin in Baba Basra. The Gemara says that a Pchor only gets Pishnayim B'muchzik V'lo B'ra'ui. If the father already had the assets before he died, then at the time of the father's death, then the Pchor is entitled to Pishnayim. But if it's Ra'ui, if the father didn't get it yet, let's say, if the grandfather died after the father died. So the father never had this Yerusha during his lifetime. He only got it, that's called Yarshin Bekever. The father Yarshin, the grandfather Bekever. So then the Pchor does not get Pishnayim in that. Even if the father had made a halvoah, he lent money to someone else. He didn't collect the halvoah during his lifetime. And the loiv that paid it up after the father died, also, that's a machlekes satanoim. We paskin like the shita, that that's called ro'i and not called muchzik. The b'chor doesn't get pishnayim. So the Gemara comments on the Mishnah in Yesh Neuchlin that Tzalovchad was a b'chor to his father, Hefer. So the question is, so Tzalovchad is entitled to pishnayim, but only pishnayim in muchzik. The pasuk has in Parshas Kiseitze, only Baruch b'muchzik and not b'ra'ui. So Gemara discusses what did Chayfer, Tzlofchad ben Chayfer, what did Chayfer have that was muchzik? He had a sukkah, he had a suitcase with Bizas Mitzrayim and Bizas Hayam. They took from the neighbors, Kleichesim and Kleizom and Smolois. Okay, odds and ends. What about the big share in Eretz Yisrael that everybody was going to get? That was a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future. They didn't get the share in Eretz Yisrael till after they conquered the land, and they were kind of Eretz Yisrael with the international kinyan of Kibush Muhammad. Or no, maybe Eretz Yisrael, maybe Eretz Yisrael belonged to Avraham Avinu, and after he died, it went to Yitzchak, and after he died, it went to Yaakov. And then it was muchzak already. It wasn't right. The Jewish people never lost the ownership. So that's how we paskin la'alacha. We assume la'alacha eretz o'machzak hasei me'aviseinu m'mayis Avraham Avinu. And it's a different kind of an ownership. The pashtus is that Kibush Muhammad is an international klal. And let's say if one country takes over another country, they wage war against another country. Beheter b'yissa. Russia wages war against Ukraine. China wages war against whatever. So if they conquer the enemy, so they're kind of that. And then if another enemy takes it away from them, the other country is kind of. You keep on losing your ownership whenever there's a Kibush Muhammad. Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people and it's not subject to Kibush Muhammad. Eretz Yisrael was taken away by the Babylonian soldiers at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon. And the Jewish people did not lose their ownership. And after the Churban Bayis Sheni, Eretz was taken over by the Roman soldiers, by the Roman armies. We assume the Jewish people again did not lose their ownership. Eretz, that's the opening Rashi on Chumash. Rashi quotes the Medrash that the Umas Olam complained against the Jewish people. Listen, Matem, we are Gazlonim. Soloveitchik used to, every so often, he would speak in public, he would say, commenting on the opening Rashi, who's quoting from the Medrash Rabbah, from the Bereshis Rabbah. I seem to remember, I just read that in yesterday's New York Times, that the Arabs complain in the United Nations, listen to them, the Jews are Gazlonim, they're not entitled to Eretz Yisrael. So the answer is no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people, and he said it's not subject to the international kinyan of Kibush Muhammad. The Jewish people never lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael. Even though the Babylonians conquered Eretz Yisrael for years, and even though the Romans conquered Eretz Yisrael for years, and even though the Turks, and even though whatever, all the different nations who lived in Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish people never lost their ownership. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. We do not owe a debt of gratitude to the British for giving us Eretz Yisrael. They never had it in the first place. They were occupying Eretz Yisrael. And then when the British gave it to the Jewish people, we owned it all along. It's not that the British owned it and they gave it to the Jews. They didn't own it in the first place. So this is all in today's Sedra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, and he said it's going to belong to the Jewish people forever and ever. The Chazon Ish has this also in his Sefer on Shviyas. He writes about this. It's interesting, the Torah says that there was a dispute between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Abraham Avinu. Shepherds of Lot said, look, God is giving Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, and we are the Yorshim, so we have the right to let our animals graze wherever they want to. It doesn't belong to the Umas Olam. And then Avraham Avinu said, no. Tosis explains in Rosh Hashanah, there's, you own the Guf HaDobar or you own the Peris. Avraham Avinu is given Eretz Yisrael right away. Avraham Avinu, the Guf HaKarka belonged to Avraham Avinu, but we didn't have the Kinyan Peris till later. We didn't have the right to Achilas Peris. The Umas Olam still had the right to Achilas Peris until the Jews crossed over the Arden in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So Avraham Avinu said that that's Gezel. You have to be careful not to let your behemoth pasture in someone else's farm. So Avraham Avinu couldn't get along with Lot on this issue. So Avraham requested of Lot, pick wherever you want. We'll divide Eretz and let me take one part and you'll take a different part. So how did Lot decide where he wants to live? So the Pasuk said, despite the fact that Anshis Noim Roim V'chatoim L'Hashem Yod, they were sinful, both Ben Adam L'Amok and Ben Adam L'Chaveiroi, nonetheless, he chose to move to that area because Vayaris Kol Kikar Hayadein Kikol HaMashke Lefnei Shachais Elikim Esa Oretz Ahi. He decided to move to that area where all where the grazing is of great value, where there's a lot of money. He didn't care about the fact that Anshei Sdom Moraim V'chatoim L'Hashem Yod, and because of that, Lot got into a lot of trouble and he almost lost his life. So the moral of the story is: when you get married and you have to decide where you want to move, you shouldn't move to the neighborhood where there's a lot of riches. Kichula Mashke, you should try to look where there's Yira Shamayim. And Lot's decision to leave Avram Avinu and to go to Sodom, so the Pasuk describes Vayisa Lot Mikedem, so Rashi quotes from the Medrash, he left Kadmonu Shalolam. He gave up on the whole religion. He left the Rabbanu Shalolam, who was the ancient one with the capital A. Kadmonu Shalolam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was there before the whole world came into existence. What trouble did Lot get into? So the Chumash tells us a whole story that there was a war between the four kings and the five kings. The five kings were paying tax to the four kings for many years, and then they rebelled, and they decided no more taxes. They declared their independence. And then there was a war, and the five kings lost the war, and the four kings acquired all of the property. And Lot belonged to Sodom. That was one of the five cities that was taken over by the four cities. So the Polit, one of the refugees from the war, came and told Avraham Avinu, Ki Nishba Ochiv, that his relative Lot was taken captive after this war was over. So Avraham Avinu felt terrible, and he went and he waged war, and he won the four kings. It's interesting. So there's an international din on Kibush Muhammad. Like we mentioned before, it's a whole sugi in Gittna, around Lamed Tes or so. Lamed Tes. So the... Based on the institution of Kibush Muhammad, when the four kings won the war against the five kings, and they were kind of all of the people as servants, slaves, they were kind of the whole area. Then Avraham Avinu waged war. He went and he fought against the four kings and he won. So now all the nine cities belong to Avraham Avinu, the area of the five kings who lost the original war, plus the area of the four kings. Everything belonged to Avraham Avinu. So everything belonged to Avraham Avinu. So Melech Sodom comes, and we usually misread the Pasuk. Melech Sodom comes and approaches Avraham Avinu and says, Ten ya nefesh or chush kach loch. So we usually mistranslate the Pasuk to mean Melech Sodom was so appreciative that Avraham Avinu got intervened and he won the war against the four kings. So he wants to give him Aruchush Kachloch. I want to give you Matana. Avraham Avinu refuses to accept the gift from Melech Sdom. So the Ramban and the Sfarna both point out that that's not Pshad. Everything belonged to Avraham Avinu. Melech Sdom lost his ownership over the whole city. It's not that he was offering a gift to Avraham Avinu. He's begging. He said, I see you're a nice fellow. Because it says, Vayitan lo ma'isa mikol. Right away, when Avraham Avinu acquired ownership of all the property and everything of the nine cities, so he met Malkin Tzedek Melech Shalem, the king of Yerushalayim. He met him, and he had a yeshiva, that's Shem ben Noach, had a yeshiva. So Avraham Avinu gave Ma'isa Ksofim to support the yeshiva, Hashem v'yever. So Melech Sdom sees that he's a charitable, Avraham Avinu is a very charitable fellow. So he tells him, he comes and he pleads with Avraham Avinu. He says, I used to be the king over Sodom. I see that you're very charitable. Maybe do me a favor, please give me back Ten Li HaNefesh, just like it gave a donation, Maisik Sofim, to the yeshiva of Shema Yever. Maybe give me back a donation, a matona. Let me become a melech again. Ten Li HaNefesh. Ruchush Kaloch. All the Ruchush belongs to you, but maybe donate to me, make me back a melech. So Avraham Avinu says, I don't want any of this stuff. Rashi writes on the Gemara Chulin. The Gemara says, because Avraham Avinu turned down this offer of Melech Sodom, therefore he was zeicha. He said, Michut, he's not going to take Michut Vatzrach now. So the Jewish people were zeicha to a chut shal tzitzis, and were zeicha to the ritzuas of tefillin. Srach now, shoe straps, are the same as if you ever saw a chalitza shoe. The chalitza shoe, they have leather straps. Leather straps look exactly like the ritzuas on tefillin. They're black. The one that I saw used to be black on one side and white on the other side, just like the ritzuas on the tefillin. Now they have some of them have it's black on both sides, but years ago, they used to have only black on one side of the ritzu and white on the other side. So, Rashi writes on that Gemara in Chulin that because Avraham Avinu didn't accept the offer of Melech Sodom, Shalerotze Lehonas Menagezel. What do you mean Shalerotze Lehonas Menagezel? Melech Sodom is giving it to him. Why is it he considered Gezel? So I think the real answer is not that Melech Sodom is offering. Maybe he didn't mean it Beleib Shalom. So that's why Avram didn't want it, because maybe he was pressured into it. No, Avram Avinu was kind of everything before with Kibush Mulchama. Kibush Mulchama is a kinyan of Gezel. He wasn't interested in taking Gezel. So he said, I don't want the whole thing. Melech Sdom wasn't offering a matana to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu acquired ownership of everything. Melech Sdom was asking for a matana himself, Ten Li HaNefesh. And Avram Avinu said, I don't want anything. My six sofim I have to give. I acquired ownership of all the nine cities. I'm chayiv to give my six sofim. However, the rechush, I'm not going to take anything, because I was kind of through Kibush Mulchama. Kibush Mulchama is an international kinyan. There is such a din, but basically it's a form of gezel. We have a minig based on that pasuk. That it's in the schar that Avraham Avinu refused to take Sroch Nal, that the Jewish people were zeicha later on to the Ritzua Shel Tefillin. So the Gemara says there was a very old minig when you put on your shoes, a Gemara Masecha Shabbos, a minig from the days of the Tanoim, when you put on your shoes, you put on the right shoe first and the left shoe, then you tie the left shoe first and then you tie the right shoe. Why do you put on when you get dressed? Why do you put on the first? You dress yourself first on the right side, then on the left side. So we assume la halacha, b'chol derachecha do'ehu. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deis. Whatever we do should be done as avodas Hashem. When you eat food, when you shower, when you raise children, when you get married, everything you do all day and all like all night long, when you earn money, everything should be an act of Avodas Hashem. If you won't be healthy, you won't be able to do Avodas Hashem. If you won't have parnasa, you won't be able to do Avodas Hashem. So in truth, b'chol derachecha do'ehu, whatever you do all day long, you should view as Avodas Hashem. That's the Rambam has a long arichas on that in Hilchas Deis. So when we know that the right side of the body, most people are righties, so the right side of the body is considered the more important part. The Kohanim who makriv karbonas have to be right-handed. A lefty is puzzled. So Mishnah B'chairis, there's a whole perek that lists off when is the behema balas mum, that you can't be makriv it on the mizbeach. Then there's another perek, when is a kohen considered a balmum, that he can't do avodas karbonas. So the Mishnah says Kohanim have to be righties, and a lefty can't do avodah because he doesn't have a right hand. Has to be the right side of the body, has to be the stronger of the two arms. So since the right side of the body is the more important part, so when you get dressed, you should getting dressed is also it's also part of avodas Hashem. They get dressed in order to be presentable, in order to have covered abrius. We should feel self-esteem. We were all created by Tzelem Elokim. Bnei Yisrael have a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim. We are bonim lamokim. So if you get dressed properly, you will sense this feeling even more. So when you get dressed, you have to first put the right sleeve in. When you take a shower, you have to wash first the right side of the body. Then it's a minig to wash the right side of the body first and to put on the right shoe first. But when it comes to tying the shoelaces, he tied the left shoelace first. Why? Because we see with respect to tefillin, we put the tefillin on the yad keho, on the left arm. So you see that with respect to tefillin, the left side of the body is more significant. So therefore, and we were given the mitzvah ritzuas of tefillin because Avraham Avinu refused to take srochnal, refused to take shoelaces, shoe straps. Refused. So therefore, with respect to the shoe straps, tying the shoelaces, we give more importance to the left side of the body than to the right side of the body. It's based on this pasuk. That's the minig. It's an old minig from the days of the Tanoim. It's mentioned in the Gemara. When Melech Sedom, what does it say? Malki Tzedek Melech Shalom Hotzi Lechem Ayoyim Hu Kohen Lekele Oyon. When Malki Tzedek came out to greet Avram Avinu, so he gives him two brachas. He says a bracha, Baruch Avram Lekele Oyon, Kone Shemayim Baruch Kele Oyon, Shemigin Tzarecha Biyadecha. He gives a bracha to Avram Avinu, and then he follows that by giving a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says that he was punished. If you plan to give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a bracha to Abbasim Adam, you should do it in the reverse order. First give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should have first said, Baruch Kel Al Yonah, Shemikin Tzarecha B'yadecha. And then he should have said, second, Baruch Avram L'Kel Al Yon. So he was punished. What was the punishment? It says he was a Kohen. Malkin Tzedek, Hu Kohen L'Kel Al Yon. He was a Kohen. So this phrase, Hu Kohen L'Kel Al Yon, has a connotation, Hu Kohen Ve'i B'no Kohen. The kahuna was nipsak. He lost the kahuna because he said the two brachas in the wrong order. It was a lack of derech eretz. So that's what the few, this is a gemara in the dark. So some of the poskim write, usually when you drink l'chaim at somebody's simcha, so you say l'chaim, 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 and then you say on the schnapps, shakal, or whatever bracha you say, bar piagotin, you're drinking wine. The Kafar Chaim quotes this. Rabbi Pesach Frank quotes it. Earlier, Svarim also quoted that that's not proper. L'chaim is a bracha to Abbasim Adam. And Bori Priyagofen or Shahakola, the Shnaps is a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So more correct is you should first say the Bori Priyagofen or the Shahakola, and then you say the L'chaim. I remember I was once, there was a group here in the neighborhood, they were a Balabatim. They learned once a week Masech HaShabbos. Masech HaShabbos is a very long Masechta. So it took them 20 years till they finished the whole Masechta. So I had moved into the neighborhood 5 years earlier, and their 20 years of learning the Masechta was up. So they invited me to participate in their siyum. And a very elaborate siyum, a whole fleishig meal, and they had champagne. So one of the rabbonim was there, one of the rabbonim from Breuers was there. So they had the champagne in the middle of the meal, but there was wine, so they had to say Barab Yaakov, and even though usually when you say Hamaitzi, it covers all the other things, but it doesn't cover wine. So they were all wishing each other Mazal Tov, L'chaim, L'chaim Tov, L'shalom. Then they said Barab Yaakov. So the Rav told them that that's not the proper way. You should first say Barab Yaakov, and only afterwards you say L'chaim. So the next one says, okay. So he says, Barab Yaakov, and then he says, L'chaim, L'chaim, L'chaim. Then he took a sip of the wine. So the Rav had charata. He said, no, first you say Barab Yaakov, and you take a sip. After you take a sip, then you say L'chaim. You know, Mapsi came between the Barab Yaakov. So he had charata, and then he told him this in the first place. But that's what it's based on this idea. Why do you say L'chaim when you give a person, when a person drinks wine or schnapps? That's based on the Gaonim. This is from the days of the Gaonim. The Gaonim say, because the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, when they had Haruge Bezlin, once in a rare instance, once in 50 years, once in 100 years, if a Bezlin would administer Dini Nefesh, it's very, very rare. So they didn't want the person to suffer too much. So they would give him a drink, a very sharp wine, very intoxicating beverage, so that he would be shikir and he wouldn't feel the pain. So when we drink wine or schnapps, so we say l'chaim. It shouldn't be like the Mises Bezin, that they gave them wine in advance and they would die. We say, this should be l'chaim. This shouldn't be l'amavis. So the, how did the Chazal see this? Because it says, v'hu kohen l'kele yom, v'hu kohen v'ein b'no kohen. This is interesting. We have a practice. Let's say you write a ksuba, you write a get. So the person is a kohen. So you say, Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. If you write Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, maybe only the father was a Kohen. Maybe the son is a Cholol. So some have the practice, you write Elazar HaKohen ben Aaron. Obviously Aaron is also a Kohen. Otherwise the son wouldn't be a Kohen. Or some would write Elazar HaKohen ben Aaron HaKohen. But the common practice is we don't write like that. We write Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. The father is a Kohen and the son is also a Kohen. What's taka the din if the father Aaron is a kohen and the son is a cholol? So you just write like that, Elazar ben Aaron hakohen. So there's a question: what should the practice be in such a situation? So some of the gedolim have a suggestion: you should write Elazar ben Aaron v'hu kohen, mean v'hu kohen they b'no kohen, like the Chazal said over here: v'hu kohen l'kel yon, v'hu kohen they b'no kohen. So you write, Elazar ben Aharon, Behu Kohen. The father was a Kohen, implying that the son is not a Kohen. Yeah? Interesting. The end of the parsha, you read about the Bris Ben Absorim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu. The mitzvah mila, the Rambam writes in Hilchas Malachim, he talks about all the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. So we spoke about it last week, that originally there were only six mitzvahs in the days of Adam HaRishon. And after the Mabul, when Noach was permitted to eat flesh, then he was given the prohibition of Evim and Achai. So that's why we call it Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. So the Rambam writes that the world was going like that for 10 generations, from the days of Avraham till Noach, there were six mitzvahs. In the days of Noach till Avraham Avinu, there were seven mitzvahs. Eid Menachai was the additional mitzvah. And then Avraham Avinu was given one additional mitzvah, Bris Milo. Then the next generation, Yitzchak, was given the ability to be Mafresh Maestris, because it says there was a famine during the lifetime of Yitzchak, in addition to the famine that took place during the lifetime of Avraham Avinu. So Yitzchak always followed in the traditions of Avraham Avinu. He was going to go down to Mitzrayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him the next week said, when he says, no, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. You are an Oilot Tmima. Your father was Magdashu as a Korban oilo. See, you'll be nipsal b'yotzei. Just like if you take a carbon after the shechita, if you take a carbon chutz la'azara, it'll be nipsal b'yotzei. So too, if Yitzchak will leave Eretz Yisrael, so he was on his way to go down to Mitzrayim, and he went to Eretz Plishtim, to the Gaza section, Chevel Aza. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, this is also Eretz Yisrael. At that time, it became Eretz Yisrael. But you're not allowed to leave Chevel Aza. But it wasn't originally. Aza was not part of Eretz Yisrael. So it says, Vayizri Yitzchak Baruch Tzahayim Tzashonahi Me'er Sha'arim. He planted in Chevel Aza, and it grew 100 times as much as he expected it would grow. Why was he making a calculation how much will grow? So Rashi quotes from the Bereshis Rabbah, he made an omed lemaisra. So how much maisa will he have to give? So that's a chiddush. He was given the ability to be mafresh maisas. Stam, if you buy 100 automobiles, you buy 10 automobiles, there's no din that you mafresh maisa. If you buy 10 books, there's no din you mafresh maisa. But Yitzchok was given the ability to be mafresh maisas. Then Yaakov Avinu, it's nitztave on Gidon Osher. The Medrash assumes that each one of the others had to be given an additional mitzvah. Why was that the assumption? That the simple meaning of the Mishnah in Chulin and Per Gidon Osher is that it's a machlekes hatanoim. When was the mitzvah of Gidon Osher given? Was it given to Yaakov Avinu after the Malach broke his leg? Or was the Chumash wrote Akein Leochman Yisoz Gidon Osher right after the story is written that the Malach broke his leg in a battle that they had, that you should know the background of the mitzvah, but the mitzvah Akein Leochman Yisoz means after Matan Torah the mitzvah was given. So the simple pshat in the Mishnah is that it's a Machloikah Satanoim. That's a thesis learned. Machloikah Satanoim, when was the mitzvah Gidon Osher given? And we assume that it wasn't given to Yaakov Avinu. It was only given after Maimon Har Sinai. So the Rambam does not learn like that because of this Bereishis Rabbah. Because the Bereishis Rabbah says that each one of the Ovis was given an additional mitzvah. Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah Mila. Yitzchak Avinu was given the ability to be Mafrish Maisris. Yitzchak Yifrish Maisris, the Rambam writes. It wasn't the Tztaba that he has to, but he was the Chiyuv to give Maisris is only after Kedushas Haaretz. Kedushas Haaretz was only after the first 14 years, Mishavi Yisrael HaSayarden. It took Shemesh and Kav, Shemesh and Chilku. Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people right away when Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, but it didn't have Kedushas HaAretz yet. So the obligation, the Chiyuv to be Mafish Maisus, only began in year 15 after Mishavi Yisrael HaSayarden. Took Shemesh and Kav, Shemesh and Chilku. But Yitzchak was given the ability to be Mafish Maisus, and Yaakov was given the mitzvah of Gidon Osher. So what's the Machlokes HaTanoim in the Mishnah in Chulin? So the Rambam has a whole paragraph there in the Pirush HaMishnayos on Chulin. Machlokes HaTanoim is, why are we today obligated to continue to observe Gidon Osher? Is it because it was given to Yaakov Avinu? Or no? Whatever was given to the Obis is only Haru Ashur. Because no Navi other than Moshe Rabbeinu was given a Din L'Doros. So the fact that we still continue to observe Gidon Osher today, the Rambam said the same mitzvah Mila. Mila was given to Avraham Avinu, it wasn't going to be L'doiros. Because Mila was repeated at Har Sinai, because Gidon Osher was repeated at Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's when it became binding L'doiros. That's how the Rambam writes there in the Pirush HaMishnayos. This is a little problematic because the psukim in the end of Parshas Lech Lecha sound like they say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that this mitzvah is L'doros Olam. This is for all the future generations. So what did the Rambam say that it was only Haru Ashur? I don't know, it's a little problematic, a lot problematic. But that's how the Rambam learns. So how did the Medrash Rabbah get this premise that it must be that each one of the Ovis was given an additional mitzvah? So Rambam Soloveitchik suggested maybe the pshat is HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avraham Avinu and a bris with Yitzchak and a bris with Yaakov. A bris means that he gave each one of the others a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael. Mishnah Melech has a Sefer Drush on Agadata. The Parashas Drachim, a beautiful Sefer. So the first Mimer in the Sefer Parashas Drachim, he understood that there was a Machloikas HaRishonim between Tosfos and the Ramban, when did Bnei Yisrael get Kedushas Yisrael? Did Avram Avinu have Kedushas Yisrael? Or maybe Kedushas only began after Matan Torah? So he has a machlokes on this. He has a machlokes. The Tosfos seems to hold that according to Matan Torah, the Jews didn't have Kedushas Yisrael, and the Ramban disagrees that they did. The Pashim shot that machlokes that the Gemara says in Cheskas Abatim, the end of the parak, Rabbi Banoa, that's the name of an Amora. Rabbi Banoa was Mitzayin Ma'arto. He was given the job to be make tziyunim by the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. You only make tziyunim around the cemetery if Kohanim are prohibited from going there. So apparently Kohanim are not permitted to go into the Ma'aras HaMachpelah because there's Tumas Ohel. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha, but we paskin, we seem to assume la halacha that may say Akam are not metamed boil. There's a machlekes in Yevomim, machlekes Rav Shimon bar Yochai and Chachamim. Rav Shimon bar Yochai assumes Odom kiyomis boil. It says in Parshas Chukas, Odom atem kriyim Odom einu mesolim kriyim Odom. The different words in biblical Hebrew that refer to human beings. And the word Adam only refers to Bnei Yisrael. Ish, Enosh, Gever, that refers to all the humans. But the term Adam only refers to Bnei Yisrael. Adam Atem, based on the Pasuk in Yecheskel. Atem Kriyim Adam, Enu Masalim Kriyim Adam. So we seem to assume that Mesi Akam are not Metami Ba'el. So why did Rabbi Bano have to be Mitzayin Nikvorim? So Ramban says he doesn't see Ramban on the end of Perek Cheskes HaBatmiz. Doesn't see what the kasha is. Avraham Yitzchak Yankov were Jewish. What kind of a kasha is that? Even though they were Kodesh Matan Torah, but they were Jewish. And Tosfos is bothered with the kasha. So Tosfos says that Adam Arishon, his name was Adam. So when you say, when the Pasuk says Adam Kiyomis Ba'oil, it refers to Adam Arishon. That was his name, was Adam. So Adam Arishon is Metame Ba'oil. Maybe Avraham Avinu also is referred to in Tanakh. Maybe Yitzchak and Yankov, not, they're not called Adam. They have a din like Mesa Yakum. But Avram Avinu was Adam HaGadol Ba'anokim, so Adam Arishon and Avram Avinu are Metami Boyle. That's what Tosfos says. And Tosfos seems to be assuming that the Ovis Kodesh Matan Torah did not have a din of Israel. And the Ramban says the whole Kasha is a mistake. Of course, they had a din of Kedushas Israel. So Rav Soloveitchik thought to make a Hachro in this Machlokes HaRishonim. Some of the earlier Achronim have this compromise that the concept of Kedushas Yisrael means Kinshana b'mitzvahis v'mitzivanu. There's no such thing as Kedusha artilois, abstract Kedusha. There's Kedusha. No, Kedusha is always Lamaisa, Kinshana b'mitzvahis v'mitzivanu. The Mishnah in the first parak in Kalim lists off Esa Kedusha same. In the Nusach Sfar Tzidach, Siddush and Sidurim, you have it. Leil Shabbos, they recite this first parak in Kalim. Esek Kedusha saying there are 10 levels of Kedusha. Eretzol Mekudeshes, Mikol HaRotzes, Shemivim Menu HaOymer Eshtei Alechem. Oymer Eshtei Alechem has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. Then Ayoros HaMakofes Chaim has more Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And there are dinim that Metzor is not allowed to enter any Ayoros HaMakofes Chaim. Then Yush. Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha than the other Ayaras HaMakafis Chayma, that what? That you can eat Maisen Sheni and Kochim Kalim. Then the Harabais has more Kedusha, and it goes step by step, and every time it has the 10 levels of Kedusha, it tells you the Nafkamina Ledina. It says that on the level of the Rais, the Harabais is all one unit, but the Rabbanon, there are 3 levels. So it tells you that Afkamina is Midrabban, every level of Kedusha, the mind Afkamina Ledina. So that's what Rab Soloveitchik liked that compromise sheet. Did the Ovis Hadin of Kedusha Yisrael or not? That an incomplete Kedusha, that had a partial Kedusha Yisrael. Why? Because each one of the Ovis was given another mitzvah. Like the Rama quoted from the Bereshit Rabba, Avram Avinu was Nitztava Alamina. Yitzchak was given the ability, Hifrish Maisis, he wasn't Mechuyev to. Because the Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedusha yet till the days of Yeshua ben Nun, the 15th year after Kibush v'Chiluk, after the Shemesh HaKavsha, Shemesh HaChilku, then Eretz Yisrael was endowed with Kedusha, and then there was an obligation to be Mafresh Trumas and Marsis. Before that, just that they had the ability to. And Yaakov Avinu what's nitztava on the mitzvah of gin anosha. So what motivated the Medrash to make this statement is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avram, bris Yitzchak, bris Yaakov. Each one of the obviously made a bris. A bris means he gave them a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael because each one was given an additional mitzvah. Then at Har Sinai, there was the bris at Har Sinai. The bris at Har Sinai was Mechaibas and all the additional mitzvahs. So the Avraham Avinu was given partial Kedushas Yisrael or full Kedushas or whatever it is. And then his name was changed to Avraham, from Avram to Avraham. Ki Avraham Goim Nisaticha. What does that mean? So the Yerushalmi explains in Bikurim, the Mishnah says that a ger is made in the Enikar a ger. Can't say, a ger says, Arami Abraham Ayer Mitzrayim, that he say that Baruch HaSadam HaShenishbata Labasein Elos HaSlonu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to our ancestors that it's going to give us Eretz Yisrael. Can the ger say HaShenishbata Labasein Elos HaSlonu? He's not a blood relative. He's not a descendant of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. So the Mishnah says that a ger made in the inner kori. The ger is obligated to do all the mitzvahs in the Torah. He's obligated to bring bikurim if he has a farm, but he doesn't recite Arami Avirovi because he can't say Horetz and Shenishbata Labasein Elos Haslonu. And the Rambam Paskin is like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda in the Yerushalmi who disagrees with the Mishnah. Taisus and Bava Basa, Daf Peyalav has a machalik, his Diri and the Rabbeinu Tam. Whether we paskin like the Mishnah, that a ger is Eino Kore, or we paskin like that Tana Rabbi Yehuda in Yerushalmi, that the ger is Kore. Why? Why is the ger Kore? Because Avram Avinu's name was changed from Avram to Avraham. Avhamon Goyim Nesatich doesn't mean he's the father of all the nations of the world. He's the father of all of those who will convert later generations, Boim Lachzas Tachas Kamfei Ashchina, so they can all refer to Avram Avinu as Avinu. Even though it's not the biological father, the Rebbe is also called, when Eliyahu HaNavi went up in the fiery chariot to heaven, so Elisha said, Ovi Ovi Rech V'Yisrael L'Farosha. The Rebbe, who taught the Talmud, is also considered an Av. How do you know that Yitzchak and Yaakov also, maybe it's only Avraham Avinu, his name was changed to Avraham? So the Netziv quotes the Ritva and Baba Basra says, we have psukim that all the three are considered Ovis of the whole Jewish people, not only of those who are biological descendants of theirs, but even Gerim, who are Sidim Lehizgair in the future, can also, when they davish Mana Esrei, we paskin against the Mishnah, we paskin Shulchan Aruch like the Rambam, that the ger can start up alakeinu lakei avseinu lakei Avraham lakei Yitzchak lakei Yaakov. According to the Mishnah, a ger can't daven like that. A ger has to alakeinu lakei avos Yisrael lakei Avraham lakei Yitzchak lakei Yaakov. Or when you say shalosh nisim labaseinu bayom ha'ayim asman hazeh and Chanukah and Purim, when you say shalosh nisim, so the Mishnah says the ger cannot say shalosh nisim labaseinu bayom ha'ayim asman hazeh. It says shalosh nisim lavos Yisrael bayom ha'ayim asman hazeh. And in the Shulchan Aruch, we follow the Rambam, who paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in the Rishalmi against the Mishnah, that a ger is made in the Kori, and a ger can't daven Shmona Esrei normally, and a ger says the Bracha Shasa Nisim Labaseinu. That's exactly what it means. Lo Nikra Ovis Ala Shloisha. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov are the Ovis, are the founding fathers of the Jewish religion. And they're the fathers of the religion, even for the Gerim as well. The Maharsha is bothered with the kasha. I think it's the last daf in Kiddushin, in the Kiddushi Agod of the Maharsha. The Gemara says there, even though Avraham Avinu was not etztava on the rest of the mitzvahs, he was only instructed about bris milah, one mitzvah. But nonetheless, kiyam Avraham Avinu kala tarkul ad shelo nitno. He figured out on his own, and he volunteered to observe all the rest of the mitzvahs. So he's bothered with the kasha. When Sarah was unable to have any children and she recommended that Avram should take Hagar and try to have children from her, how is that permissible? The din is that a Mitzri, Yisrael is not permitted to marry a Mitzri Shenizgayer. So how can he live with a Hagar HaMitzris? That's the Maharsha's kasha. So some Achrayim want to say that came of Avinu Kol HaTikvah Shelo Nitno to volunteer as an Eina Mitzvah V'Yosa only makes sense on an essay. It doesn't make sense on a loisese. That's how the Maharal Prague suggests in the Gur Aryeh. If you say like that, so mitzvah is an iser, it's not a mitzvah. So there is no concept of Eina Mitzvah V'Yosa on a loisese, only on an essay. Some Rishonim hold that the whole concept of chinuch only makes sense on an essay. There's no chinuch on a loisese. Because a cotton, if I'll see to it that the cotton shakes a lulav, I'll have a kiyum as an Eina Mitzvah V'Yosa. But if I'll see to it fasting on Yom Kippur, and the Mishnah said that it's chinuch, so those of Rishonim say that fasting on Yom Kippur is certainly a lois essay also, but it's also an essay. There's a kiyum essay if you fast on Yom Kippur. The Rambam writes, I raise a kiyum, it's an essay. So Maharal Prague holds like that, that there's a difference between an essay and a lois essay. But the Mashiach didn't think like that. So the Mashiach asked that question. So the Mashiach has a suggestion that maybe that Gemara, the very last daf in Kiddushin, the very last daf where it says, Kim Avraham Avinu Kol HaTikvah Shelo Nitno, maybe that's only after he was given the mitzvah milo. And he married Hagar, that was before he was given the mitzvah milo. Maybe after milo, he wouldn't have married her. Yeah, that's a question. If that's correct or not. Okay, we'll have to look further in the Parshias what it says. I remember once Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky visited here in Washington Heights for a bar mitzvah of a great-grandchild, I think it was, of his second wife. It wasn't his relative, it was a grandchild of the second wife. So the Daf Yomi made a siyum at that time on Seder Noshim. So and there was a big shalashudas in Broyers and 90 Bennett. So they asked their Mechaber, Rabbi Kamenetsky, he should say some dimitaris. So he spoke on that occasion on this kasha of the Maharsho. That's, I seem to remember that the Chidushi Agoda of the Maharsho is the last daf in Kiddushin. So he gave a suggestion. He says, you have to check whether it's correct halacha lemaisa. We have a klal, Shvulachem Pai Machamor. It says by when Avraham Avinu went for the Akedah, so he told the Avadim, Shvulachem Pai Machamor, that the Eved is Amadai Malachamor. Just like a Chamor doesn't have any Yichus, so too Eved Knaini doesn't have any Yichus. So the Eved, he doesn't have a brother. Eved is Muta Ima, Muta Bebita. He's not, doesn't have any Yichus of Mishpacha. What about does he have Yichus of a nationality? So he suggested maybe just like an Eved doesn't have any Yichus of Mishpacha, maybe the din is that he doesn't have yichus of a nationality either. So he's made a suggestion. He said, you got to check if there are any sources for or against this. Maybe if a Mitzri is Mizgayer, it becomes a Jew, then he's called a Ger Mitzri. Or a woman is called a Georis Mitzris. Maybe if the Mitzris, Hagara Mitzris, she converted L'shem Shivcha Knainis. Maybe because she was Shivcha Knainis, she didn't have any yichus to her former nationality. So maybe one can suggest a chiddush lahalacha. We have to check it out to see if it's correct or not. Maybe if the Nochri, instead of converting directly to becoming Yisrael, first became an Eved Knaini or Shivcha Knainis, so maybe they're no longer misyachas to their nationality. So later when they're is Gaier Legamre, maybe they're not called a mitzris. That was quite a suggestion. He said himself, it's a big chiddush, and you have to check to see if there are any sources that indicate like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls upon Avraham Avinu, Hisalech Lefonai Beheyei Samim, at the end of the Sedra, towards the end of the Sedra. So, Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over this medrash that there are three different madregas. He said when he remembered there was a period of time that he would walk the shul with his grandchildren. So one of the grandchildren was able to go faster. So he was running ahead. They already knew what direction the shul was. And other grandchildren were so young, they were straggling behind. They couldn't keep up with the grandfather. And others, he was holding their hand and walking with them. So the three madregas that we have in the Chumash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called upon Avraham Avinu, he wants him to be a pioneer in Avodas Hashem. So he told him, Hislalech lefanai, ve'yesamim, I want you to go ahead. You figure out on your own what's the right thing to do. And Noach says, Eser alekim b'salach Noach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was holding on to Noach's hand. You go along with me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ask of the rest of Bnei Yisrael not to be on the madrega of Avraham Avinu, Salech Lefanai. He doesn't ask of all of us we should be on the madrega of Noach. Then should be Eser alekim b'salach Noach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Achre Hashem alekechem teilechu. You should follow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show you the way and you should follow. He doesn't ask of us to do things that are so difficult. The end of the Sedra, you have the Bris Ben Absorim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu notifies Avraham Avinu that Eretz Yisrael will belong to the Jewish people. So Avraham Avinu is Bamo Eda Ki'ir Hashenu. So Poshim Shat, how do I know that you're going to keep your promise? That's quite a chutzpah. Bamo Eda Ki'ir Hashenu. How do I know? Maybe you'll double cross me. So the Silas and Sharm quotes on Medrash that that's what it meant. Bamo Eda, how do I know you're going to keep your promise? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yodoya Teda. I'm going to punish you for saying, how do I know you're going to keep your promise? Yodoya Teda. Kiger Yizarach Beretz Loi Lahem. The Bnei Yisrael were punished because of the sin of Avraham Avinu that he said, Bama Eda. That's an interesting shot. But the Gemara does not understand like that. The Gemara, on the last daf in Megillah, the last Amud Beis in Megillah, Megillah ends on an Amud Aleph. So the last Amud Beis in Megillah, the Gemara understands, Bama Eda Ki Rashenu, that Avraham Avinu is asking, Be'ezes Schus, what Schus will my descendants have the right to control Eretz Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Kol Yeglim Shaleshes, etc. means Biskus HaKrovas HaKarbonis. Then Avraham Avinu says, but what's going to be in a generation in 1948 where there's no Beis Hamikdash, no Karbonis? What's chus that the Jewish people have that they have the right to Balabateva over Eretz Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this already doesn't appear in the Chumash. So this, the Gemara fills in the rest of the story. Chumash is missing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, let the Jewish people recite Parshas HaKarbonos Amal Ani Aleim Kilu Hikrivim. That's a special Haftoche. The Chafetz Chaim has a whole essay about this. That's a special Haftoche that only appears in the Gemara and the Midrash in connection with Karbonos, connection with Binyan Beis HaMikdash, that Kol Lo'isik B'Parshas Oilo kilo hikrivolo, kolo isig parshas shlomim kilo hikrim shlom, kolo isig parshas chatas kilo hikriv chatas. If you learn the dinim and you recite the parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if we brought the karbonas. The medrash, that's based on the pasuk in Nomi, the shalma farim svaseinu. We pay up the obligation that we have to bring parim, to bring tminim umasofim, to bring karbonas all year long by sifaseinu, by our reciting the parshas. That's when we daven musaf. On Rosh Chodesh, on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, on Chalamoid, that's the Neshama Farim Svaseinu. The Medrash has any connection with the mitzvah Binyan Beis HaMikdash also. Even though we live in a generation that it's simply not shaykh to build a Beis HaMikdash. If we'll build a Beis HaMikdash, all the Arab nations will unite and they'll just wage war, they'll kill all the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. So we don't have the ability to build a Beis HaMikdash, but the Medrash applies in the Shalma form, so saying it to Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Does it apply to all mitzvahs? Let's say the Jews lived in communist Russia and they weren't able to eat matzah. So when you say that it would be an Inyan, they should recite the Parsha of Achilas Matzah. Or let's say a person is sick and he stays home. He can't go to shul. So he's going to miss Kriyas HaTorah. So would it make sense that the person should go through Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, Asheni Mechamishi and Shabbos? So it'll be considered Kilo, he participated in Kriyas HaTorah. So many have, some tzaddikim had such a practice when they were old and weak and feeble, they weren't able to go to shul, they would go through a Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. So the Mabit, who was a contemporary of Yosef Karo, He was in the Beis Din of Rabbi Yosef Karen Tzvat. They're famous that they had a few famous machlokes in together, but I think 98% of all halachas they agreed on. The 2% where they had a machlokes, those became famous. So the Ma'abid wrote a sefer Beis Halakim. Now in recent years, it's been reprinted in block letters with the kudas and paragraphs and sentences and chapters. It's easier to read. So the Ma'abit writes in the Beis Elokim, he thinks that this idea in the Shalma forms Hasenu applies to all mitzvahs Hatar. Whenever there's a mitzvah that you're unable to observe, you should learn the dinim and it'll be considered as if you get schar, as if you fulfill that mitzvah. And the Chafetz Chaim has a whole essay. He quotes Rashi and Bab Metzia and many other Rishonim that it's not so. That this idea in the Shalma forms Hasenu only applies with respect to Binyan Beis HaMikdash and respect to Hakrovas HaKarbonis. But that's how the Gemara understood. Bama Eda Kirushen, that's the last Omen base in Masechas Megillah. Gemara understood that it wasn't a chutzpah on the part of Avraham Avinu. Bama Eda means Be'ezes Chutz. Not how do I know you're gonna keep your promise? What should we be careful about? So that he was told, Be'ezes Akrobas Akarbonis. Then when Avraham Avinu raises the issue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't have any children. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayotze Osa HaChutzo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avraham Avinu out of his Ohel, and he said, look at the sky, Svarak HaChavim, Mtuch HaLispar Oysam, can you count how many stars there are? Ko Yezarecha, the Jewish people will be like Kochli HaShemai. So there's a very old minig. Some claim that this meaning is rooted in Yerushalmi, the Tosis quotes in the first parak in Yuma, that when a young girl gets married and we are expecting her to have babies, so we have them walk out of the house, they should get married to invoke the blessing that Avraham Avinu was given. Avraham Avinu, but Derech HaTeva couldn't have any children. Avraham Avinu was an Akar, the Gemara says, and Sarah was an Akar, and so on. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Vayotzias Achutza, Tzemi Tzagninu Shelcho. Go, you step out from the Derech HaTeva. It's Tzagninus is Tachashlitas HaKachav HaMazolus, but Derech HaTeva, you can't have any children. But Vayotzias Achutza, Chutz Legidri HaTeva, B'nai Yisrael will have children. It'll be Svar Kachav M'tuchalis Baros M'ken Yez Arecha. So that's why when a girl is young, and she's probably going to have children, so when the Rabbanim go to the Badekin, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Rabbanim are expected to give a bracha, Achaseinu Atayili Alfei Revova. And that's why the minig is that you get married outside. The Achronim write, as Techemin quotes this, it's a wonderful thing to fulfill this old minig, a very old minig. Maybe it's rooted in Yerushalmi. If a woman is remarrying at the age of 70, and she's marrying a man who's 80, we don't expect them to have any children. They just want to have some companionship. They're not going to have babies. So then you get married inside. But if a girl is young and she's getting married, we expect her to have children. So we give her a bracha, a chaseinu atayili alfei revova, and you're makbet to have the chuppah, tachas hakachavim. So the Achronim write, you should fulfill the meaning of getting married outside, but you should be careful not to make a chil Hashem. What does it mean not to make a chil Hashem? So remember, I once attended a wedding in Williamsburg, and it was raining outside, and they had the chuppah outside in the street, and the chuppah was purple, and the rain was falling on the purple chuppah, and purple drops of water were falling on the caller's white gown and causing stains on the gown. And the Goyisha neighbors, Williamsburg has a lot of non-Jews who live. The Goyim were hanging out the windows and laughing at the Jewish people. What a bunch of lunatics. You get married outside and it's raining. And the purple of the chuppah is staining the caller's gown. So that's probably what the Achronim are talking about. You should fulfill a meaning of getting married outside when you shouldn't make a chil Hashem. If it's in a silly situation like that, then you don't get married outside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu by the Bris Bein Absorim, Yodoya Teidu Kigiris Arach Beretz Lalehem Vavodim Inu Oysam Arba Me'ashonu V'gamas Agaya She'yavodu Dono Noichi. So the Rambam is bothered with Akasha. Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva talks about Bechira Chofshis. So then the Rambam asks the Akasha, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows in advance what's going to happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows in advance that the Egyptians are going to torture the Jewish people, keep them enslaved. So how can it be a Gamasah Gaya Sheyavod Adon Anochi? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to punish them? But if there's Yediyah in advance, what's going to happen? So then there's no Bechira Chavshis. If there's no Bechira Chavshis, you don't deserve to be Nenosh. You don't deserve a punishment. Punishment, Tzchav Yonish, only makes sense if there's Bechira Chavshis. So isn't Yediyah a contradiction to Bechira? This is the Rambam's kash. So the Rambam says, we don't understand the answer. Lo machshvoyse machshvoysech melo darchechem dirachoy. We don't know the answer. So the Ravid complains against the Rambam. Why did the Rambam, Lenoa Kaminig HaChachomim, a scholar doesn't do like that? You ask Akasha, and you put a bug in people's heads that there's a contradiction between Yediyah and Bechira. Rabbi Akiva, in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, says like that. Hakol Safui, Barashus Nasuna. Everything is predetermined in advance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows in advance, HaKol Tzafu, he knows in advance what's going to happen. V'harashus Tansun, and people have Bechira Choshes. It's a contradiction. So that's, Rabbi Akiva points out the contradiction. How can it be? How can it be if there's Yediyah in advance, how can it be that there's Bechira Choshes? So the Rabbi asked, the Rambam didn't be noyig like the Minig HaChacham, he put a bug into people's minds. He raises a kasha, he doesn't give the teretz. He shouldn't have raised the question. So people will have a muna pshuta. We don't realize that there's a contradiction between the different things that we believe. So the rabbi gives a different answer, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was geyser, that the Jewish people have to suffer avdus, avodim inu oisim, suffer avdus and suffer torturing. But he wasn't geyser. Who's going to do it? He left people open. He left all the umas alam up. Who wants to run to do this dirty work? So, Megagolim Chayvai Dechayev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled whoever wants, everyone has Bechira Chavshis, to choose to be mean to the Jewish people. And the Mitzrayim were the ones who chose to do the evil. So, that's why they deserve the punishment. That's what the Ravid answers. They say in the Rambam also, the Rambam didn't mean to say, we don't know what the answer is. Some say that the Rambam did give the answer. The Rambam gave the answer. The whole kasha is based on the concept of time. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows in advance what's going to happen, if there's foreknowledge, if there's yediyah in advance, how can you say that I have Bechira Chavshis now? So the whole kasha is based on the concept of time. So time and space are concepts that human beings have. That's part of the Bria. The Chazal say, and the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that Basar Mamar is Nivra Ha'olam, because it says nine times, Vayomer Elokim, Vayomer Elokim. So it says nine times. So what's the tenth one? The tenth one is Bereshis Nami Mai Mahavi. What do you mean Bereshis? Bereshis is the beginning of all of time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created time and space. There was also a creation. We can't imagine anything. Even if you imagine a world where there are no trees and there are no buildings and there are no people and no animal, nothing there, but there's still time and space. There's time is ticking away and there's space. How can you visualize a world where there's no time and there's no space? We can't visualize that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is l'mayla min ha-teva. He's l'mayla min ha-zman, l'mayla min ha-mokem. So the whole kasha only is based on the assumption. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu know in advance what's going to happen and people have bechira chavshis? The answer is he doesn't know in advance. He knows b'shas ma'isa when everything is happening, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is l'mayla min ha-teva. So that's what the Rambam said. He didn't say, he doesn't throw up his hands and he says we don't know the answer to the kasha. He said this is the answer, but we can't understand the answer. We can't visualize a world where there's no concept of time and space. That's how some interpret the Rambam, that the Rambam gave that as the answer. It's not that he was giving up and he says, we don't know the answer. The Midrashim speak about the Gzeira of Arba Me'er Shona, that it wasn't really, the Jews were only in Egypt 210 years. Redu, Redu, Kiminyan Redu, is 210. So what happened to Arba Me'er Shana? So the Midrashim give two different answers. They give one answer that the Mitzrayim made the Jews work so hard. The Koshi HaShibud was 400 years worth of Shibud. Then another Midrash gives a different answer, seemingly a different answer, and we start counting the 400 years, Arba Me'er Shana, from later Yitzchak. Because even though Yitzchak lived in Eretz Yisrael, it's considered Eretz Lo Lahem because the Jews didn't fully own Eretz Yisrael. From the time that Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, Kum Misalach Barat L'Akal Rachba, Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jew. To Avraham Avinu, only the Kinyan Agupa, they didn't have the Kinyan Peres. That's what the Tosis points out in Rosh Hashanah. So when Yitzchak was born, that's Ger Yezaracha, is Yitzchak Beretz Lo Lahem. That was when he lived in Eretz Yisrael from Leidas Yitzchak till Yitzias Mitzrayim was 400 years. They say from Avelvela Soloveitchik that they're not two different answers from the Medrash on the same Kasha. The 400 years goes back on both. Ger Yezaracha Beretz Lo Lahem is one Gzeira. Vavonim Inu Asim Arba Me'er Shana. Arba Me'er Shana goes on both. So the Jews were not in physically in Chutz La'aretz more than 210 years. So the answer is no, but from the birth of Yitzchak, it was 400 years. And Zaracha is Yitzchak. And the Koshi Hashibu, it was Mashlim, Bavadim Inu Oysam. They'll be working and tortured for 400 years, 400 years worth of work. They only were working for less than 210 years after Yosef died. That's when the Shibud began. After all the Shvatim died, then the Shibud began. So the Koshi Hashibud was equivalent to 400 years. So the two Cheshbonos ended at the same time. It's interesting, at the end of the Parsha, you have the din of Mitzvah Mila. There are two din of Mila. There's Mila Shal Mitzvah, Mila Shal Geirus. If an non-Jew wants to convert, he has to undergo Mila. And there are different opinions in Tanaim. We pass and that it's Ma'akeh B'ni'evet. If the Geir only had Tfilah in the mikveh, didn't have milah, or he had milah, didn't have tfilah, he's a goy gomer, he's not Jewish. You have to have milah and tfilah. Different opinions in the Tanoim. A woman can be megayer, a non-Jewish woman is megayer with tfilah in the mikveh with kabbalas on mitzvah. She doesn't need anything on her body. But the male goy has to have milah and tfilah. So that's milah shel geiris. Then you have milah shel mitzvah. If a person is born a Jew, or his mother was a Shidcha Knainis, he's born an Eved Knainis. An Eved Knaini is born. He's Chayv Mitzvus Keisha. He doesn't have to have Mila to make him into an Eved Knaini. He's Chayv Mitzvus Keisha. He's born a partial Jew. He's already Chayv Mitzvus Keisha from the day that he was born. So that's, whenever you have a Mila Shal Mitzvah, you need the Yom HaShmini. L'chatchila, the Mitzvah Mishlei Musa is a Mila Bizmana. When you have a Mila Shal Geirus, so then the Gemara and the Mishnayos point out the Masech HaShabbos at 24 Prokem, and one whole parak is Rab Lezer the Mila, all about the Dina Mamila. Most of the Dina Mamila are found in that parak. Some of the Dina are found in other Masechtas, but most of the Dina are found in parak Rab Lezer the Mila. So the Mishnah says there's a difference between Yelid Bais and Miknas Kesef. Yelid Bais means he was born an Eved Kenayni. His mother was a Shivcha Kenayinis. So that Yelid Bais, that's a Mila Bishmini. And that we assume is Decher Shabbos, the Rambam says. Mila Yelid Bais is Decher Shabbos. But Miknas Kesef, that's that there's no din of Mila Bishmini. Miknas Kesef is a Mila Shal Geiris. When you buy an Eved Kenayni, you want to be Malhim, Lishem, Eved Kenayni, to give Makdushas Eved Kenayni. So then the Pashta says that there is no din of Shmini. Yeah, is there a din, let's say, one is adopting a non-Jewish baby and they want to be Megayer the non-Jewish baby? Is there a din that you can't do? It's a Milo Shel Geirus. Is there a din that you can't perform the Milo Shel Geirus before the Yom HaShmini? So there's such a Ben Tam in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Tosis writes Akasha, and they say the Ben Tam gives a teretz that's not worth repeating. But they don't say what the teretz was. So when you look in the Sefer Or Zeruah, Maseches Avodah Zarah, Or Zeruah a lot of times has a longer version of, we have a lot of times lines missing, sometimes a few lines missing in the middle of a tesis. So in that tesis, in Maseches Avodah Zarah, towards the end, when the Gemara is talking about a Nochri handling Yayin, And Nachi Asa is the Yayin. So the Rabbeinu Tam said a difference between a baby younger than 8 days, a Goyisha baby younger than 8 days old, older than 8 days old. Is older than 8 days, then he could have been Megayer, and he wasn't. If he's younger than 8 days old, he couldn't be Megayer. So the Bali Ataisa held that that was ridiculous. There's no din of Shmini at all by Milo Shel Geiris. But the Rabbeinu Tam held that there is. There's such a Maharsha also. In the end of Perek HaBlez in the Milo, on the last naf, the Maharsha assumes a Dava Pasha like that, that to be Megayer Ager Kotnun, you can't do the Milo before the eighth day. There's no din that has to be Dafka on the eighth day. There's no din of Milo Bizmana. But the baby is not, the goy is not roy to have the bris milo until the eighth day. I remember I was once at a family bris. And I was saying this over to Rabbi Gifter. He thought I was crazy. So he said, there is no such Rabbeinu Tam. He thought it's impossible. How could it be? But the Rabbeinu Tam, Tosafot doesn't say what the Rabbeinu Tam said. The Balei Tosafot just discarded it. They just rejected it. It's not worthy of being quoted. But that's what the Maharsha says like that. The Chasam Sefer has a tshuva where he discusses this Maharsha, whether you have to be machmir for that or not.